Dombrowski here. Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Happy Monday. And we are observing a somber anniversary this September the 11th. It has been now 16 years since the attacks. Everybody remembers where they were. I think that's one of the hallmarks of these type of events. I woke up to this. I was in the car listening to the radio, and really, I just remember as even just a very young person, this affecting me profoundly. There's an anniversary though today that nobody really seems to be mentioning at all. It surprises me because today marks 5 years since the Benghazi attacks. Obviously, a memorial, a remembrance of lives lost shouldn't be politicized. And it's appropriate to observe these moments in time, these days, with a degree of respect, but also just a sobriety. But I'm surprised, actually, that we're really not talking about terrorism today at all. Because to me, September 11th, when you take not just the World Trade Center and Shanksville and the Pentagon, but add to it the Benghazi attack, this is a day. This is International Terrorism Remembrance Day. It is a reminder to be vigilant. It is a reminder that our defenses must be up. That we have to remain vigilant and call our enemy out for what it is. You know, the Benghazi, nobody wants to talk about Benghazi because, of course, Benghazi puts on front and center showcase the enormous ineptitude of the Obama administration first of all, right, remember how they blamed it on a video that was put out by an anti-Islam video, and they said this was a spontaneous attack, a spontaneous uprising. Turned out, of course, none of that turned out to be true. But Hillary Clinton continued on with that bit. It's important. This, what happened 5 years ago, and explanations and excuses for what went down is important because we need to be able to call radical Islamic terror for what it is. We need to recognize, and when we go back 16 years and even some months before that, and we go to the hijackers that came from Saudi Arabia and how easily they got into the country and how at every turn, including up until the time that they were checking in for those ill-fated flights, how there were moments in time where good Americans found themselves, well, suspicious? Is that the word? When you look at the interviews and you talk to the gate agent that checked in four of the hijackers, one of the things that always struck me, even this was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, struck me, he goes, look, I didn't want to be prejudiced. Yes, Middle Eastern guys and, you know, they're all traveling in different places on the airplane. And it was weird, but I didn't want to be the person to say, hey, could this possibly be a problem? I think reality demands that we say, hey, this might be a problem. And we cannot let political correctness dictate policy. Policy has to be based on sound reason. Sometimes sound reason leads to things, leads to realizations, leads to observations that are not necessarily politically correct, but are certainly reflective of the realities that face us. This isn't Catholic terrorism. This isn't radical Jewish terrorism. It's radical Islamic terrorism. Comes from countries that don't like us, and they don't like us. That the dislike for us is deeply cultural. It's ingrained in the orthodoxy of their faith. So I think this is all very important, and I'm surprised at how little this has been talked about today. So it's just an observation. But it matters to me. It does, because I don't think that you can the whole point of something terrible happening is that you learn from it. Now, when it comes to Benghazi, I just cannot imagine Benghazi happening on Donald Trump's watch. Can you just suppose for a minute that one of our embassies, that one of our diplomatic outposts, be it wherever in the world, is suddenly under siege? You think that, I don't know, can you imagine Secretary of State Tillerson and Defense Secretary Mattis just sort of, let's observe this and be concerned for how it might look politically, and we don't want boots on the ground because, gosh forbid, we appear hostile to the to a delicate and fragile ally. It's just nonsense. In fact, the world under Trump, I firmly believe this. Any foe that looks at Mattis and looks at his history would think twice about something like this. I'm not saying it wouldn't happen, but certainly a totally different response. But on the flip side, can September 11th happen again? If you want to prevent something, you've got to look at the cause of it. And one of the core causes of September 11th at the end of the day was our naivete. We just couldn't imagine something like this could happen. And the next attack will not be like a September 11th. Gosh forbid, hopefully nothing ever happens, but it's going to be something just as terrible potentially. But still going to come from the same enemy. We still face the same enemy. And it's morphed. It's not Al-Qaeda anymore. But there's always a new group to come and take that place. So, you gotta learn from the past. And the most important part of all of this is being able to talk about what the problem is, not being afraid to say the words radical Islamic terror. You got to be able to say it. And so much of this discussion is always, it's just we're forced underground with it, right? We're forced to shimmy around it carefully because, you know, Sam, you can't say that. You can't call it that. It's the religion. It's a religion of peace. So these are my thoughts on this anniversary. And I'm glad that we have this day, to remember and to honor the dead. But it needs to also be a day of reflection on where we go from here and remaining vigilant. So. With that, I note that a small little blurb out of the Supreme Court, a single judge ruled that the temporary restraining order against Trump's travel ban is lifted, at least to the extent that it allows the travel ban to continue. So that's a bit of interesting news in light of today. Other news. What else is going on? Well, Irma has blown through Florida over the weekend. If you've seen the pictures, it's just devastating. However, probably not as bad as expected when it comes to Tampa, the Tampa, St. Petersburg area, Sarasota, if you're familiar. There was a lot of talk about that being just leveled. And by the grace of God, it appears that the Tampa was largely left untouched for the most part. Miami, almost incredible scenes. If you've been to Miami, busy, busy city. It's just parts of it completely underwater. And of course, the Florida Keys, tremendous devastation there. Expect the hurricane to now, as it drifts up over Georgia. I mean, I think the winds now are only about 10, 20 miles an hour. So it's nothing like it was where it was down in the Keys and in the Central Coast. Also, now I really... Did you get a chance to see this Bannon interview? This is so fascinating. You know, Steve Bannon is the man who saved Trump's campaign. Steve Bannon is the guy who came in, if you remember. First, Trump had Corey Lewandowski. And then when Corey left, he had Paul Manafort came in. Mr. Russia. And Manafort was really – my gripe with Manafort had nothing to do with Russia. It was that he was just a very establishment fuddy-duddy kind of guy with about zero energy, negative charisma. And he really had no effect upon the organization that was the Trump campaign. You expected that with an establishment-type figure coming in that he would be able to win over the establishment, get Trump on track – get him through the primaries, et cetera, et cetera. And that just didn't happen at all. It was a total dud. And so sort of in the 11th hour when the primaries were still well underway and it was, you know, at any given moment, Trump's campaign could have sputtered and stuttered. What happened? Trump pulls in this total unknown guy for the most part. I mean, people who follow Breitbart News and are more politically, you know, intuitive or aware, knew who Steve Bannon was, but basically a total outsider. Never ran a campaign, nothing like that. Goldman Sachs banker, a kind of an interesting cat, a populist certainly, and he comes in and he just takes the campaign by storm. And one of the reasons, in my opinion, is that he was so effective with Trump is because he spoke Trump's language. It's the most unfair and erroneous statement about Bannon is that he fueled, you know, Trump's thoughts on populism and economic issues and immigration and all that, that he was, I don't know, somehow, you know, Trump's brain and his thinker and the heart and soul of Trump's campaign. Not the case at all. In fact, in my opinion, having seen this here, is Bannon was a guy who came in and echoed what Trump had been thinking, actually saying, I'll say that, even saying, for years, even before he ever ran for president. And so Trump had, for the first time, really, a capable guy who knew how to lead people. Okay, he knew how to, you know, he was, and this guy was not afraid to speak his mind. And I think that Trump had in Bannon a sounding board and an ally. And so, you know, the rest is history. They go in, they storm the country. They win not only the primary, but also the general election. And now that he's out of the White House for a few weeks, Bannon is finally, why not say finally, but he's for the first time he's agreed to sit down and give an interview. And he gives it to Charlie Rose in 60 Minutes. This is really this bit of – I normally never promote 60 Minutes because it's just crap. But this 60 Minutes piece is fascinating because it's the first time he's speaking on camera. It's the first time that Bannon is going on the record for what happened. And it is an absolutely fascinating peek behind the curtain. Now, as with any person, when they're talking about their own personal experience, their own personal contributions, their own, you know, perceptions of how things happen, you have to run it through a filter. And I will help you do that as we go through this, because you can't take everything that the Bannon is saying in this interview for, at face value. But what you can do is I think what we can do here I've got all the important clips, so don't worry. I'll take you through it. But it does give a tremendous insight that I don't think many of us had before this interview aired, and that's why I think it's so important. And he may not, by the way, he may not give too many more direct interviews. For one, okay, general impressions. I'll start there. Charlie Rose. Whatever you may think of him, he's got quite a name, right? He's a household name. He's been doing this forever. He went into it ready to skin Bannon alive. I mean, it was like he had his Bowie knife out and was ready to just start peeling back layers of Bannon. And because he went in it so hot and heavy, my opinion is he really lost any remaining shreds of journalistic integrity that he had going into the interview. I mean, he went into it and it was a debate. It was a debate. He was debating Bannon. Now you're going to say, yeah, well, that's the role. It's a 60 Minutes is a hard-driving news magazine. No. I mean, not really. You think they would treat Hillary this way? You think they would, you know, John Kerry or somebody like that? No, no chance in heck. No chance. Those are 60 Minutes. When it comes to Democrats, they're puff pieces. They're just puff pieces. They're made for Democrats to look good. So they got Bannon on. And the bit about them coloring him, this is fascinating too. So I saw a guy whose specialization is tuning videos and coloring videos. And they go, look at this clip of Bannon, and then turn around. There's a clip of Charlie Rose. And let me tell you, it's all about the drapes. I'll explain this when we get back. It's a bit fascinating because all in a deliberate attempt to make Bannon look evil and to fit the narrative that they put out there. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. My 10-year-old son needs bifocals. I found this out is this normal? I don't think that's, Sherry, my wife, texted me in the middle of, I was in the middle of a meeting, and she texted me, you know, I knew there was a problem, okay? Because I took him to you know where the Getty Villa is up in Malibu? So my son loves Greek mythology. We go down there, we're looking at some statues, and every time he gets to the description, he's very interested in reading the description. So he gets up and he's standing. The poor kid, I notice he's standing like, you know, 3 inches away. He's like, it's like almost up against the wall, and he's looking at these descriptions. I go, we got a problem here. I don't think his vision is too hot. So finally set an eye appointment, which was earlier today. And the poor guy needs like massive glasses. I know I have glasses. I don't. At 37, I don't have bifocals, so I'm heartbroken. I just feel bad for him, you know, in sports and all that. It's tough. So I'm sure you've got, you know, it's maybe not that an unusual thing, but anyway, so he's picking out some cool glasses and he's very happy about them, and I'm excited to see them when I get home. All right. Bannon does not have glasses, but around his eyes was really red in the interview on 60 Minutes. The big Bannon, Steve Bannon interview. Apparently, they colored him funny. It's not a joke. They actually, I was listening to a guy who was explaining how they did it, because when you look at the shot of Bannon, he's got the same curtains, and they filmed it at his house. He's got the same curtains in the background as Charlie Rose has behind him. I mean, they're sitting facing each other and they're in the same room. This is fascinating. The light is roughly the same. The curtains behind Bannon look really, really rich, while the curtains behind Charlie Rose look very kind of whited out. That's how I describe them. Not technical terms. Apparently, it has to do with saturation. Like when you're on Instagram and you can, or on your iPhone or Android phone, you can play with the photos, right? And it's the same thing. They do that same thing with video. And the idea behind it, when you do that, then it makes his face look pale and his eyes and lips red, kind of like if you've seen the original Star Wars movies, right? You've got the Emperor, the bad guy, the dark side, you know, and how do they make an evil guy look evil? They make his lips red and he's pasty white and his eyes are red. And that's, I guess, you know, universal code for bad dude. So anyway, I wouldn't put it past it. And it's the great question to ask is, why did Bannon go? Well, first of all, why did he get interviewed? This is only interviews, first interview he's ever done. That's not with, you know, with his own Breitbart News, right? This is the first outside interview, TV interview he's ever done. Also, why did he go on 60 Minutes? I have got an answer for you on that. Well, first of all, why is he speaking out? What's the story right now? The story is that he was kind of kicked out of the White House after losing influence and favor. And so now if you're Bannon, if you're a guy that's got a, you know, a big healthy ego, which no doubt he does, one of the principal things you want to do is to kind of reestablish yourself. I don't think, by the way, he cares one little tiny bit about what people think about him. I actually, the part of the interview that rings true is him talking about that, about how he just doesn't care about the characterization that he's given. But I do think that he wants people to know that he is competent, that he's, you know, a bad A money money guy. He's okay people thinking he's evil and that he's, he's okay with the characterization in the media of the left as to his ideas, as to his ideology. But he's also, he also just wants people to know that he's competent. And the example I can give of this is that as I'm watching the interview with producer Robbie here, is doing some show prep earlier. It ended, and I asked Robbie what he thought, and Robbie, who's very skeptical of all politics and politicians, including Trumpster and his people, said, I really like Steve Bannon a lot more than I did before, and I think it won some people over. So when we come back, I'll do the clips and I'll tell you why he went on 60 Minutes, which I think is the real. It's the most important thing here. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. John Wolf up next with the news.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 1-800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. Sam@samnation.com is the email. And we're live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain, talking about the Steve Bannon interview. If you missed it, don't worry. I will lay it all out for you here, all the important and pertinent bits. And if you're wondering why, so 60 Minutes, right? If you're talking about the mainstream media, if you're talking about fake news, right, left-wing mainstream media, CBS 60 Minutes is about it's the epicenter of it, if you will. And Charlie Rose, he came out swinging. I think in this is the answer for why, of all places, Bannon went to give his first and maybe one of his rare interviews. We'll see if there are any to follow up. So he covered a lot of different topics in this interview, but he did. Let's start here. First of all, he gets asked more or less straight up by Charlie Rose. Bannon gets asked if he's a racist, and this is his response to it. It's so combative, but actually very endearing on a fundamental level. Have a listen.
I was raised in a desegregated neighborhood. North side of Richmond is predominantly black. Okay, I went to an integrated school, a Catholic school. I serve in the military. I don't need to be lectured by a bunch of limousine liberals. Okay, from the Upper East Side of New York and from the Hamptons. Okay, about any of this.
My lived experience is that, referring to living in a desegregated area at a time in our history when things were radically different. And it's true. And, can you imagine? So you're a guy that's grown up in a poorer area, in what we would today celebrate as a racially diverse area, right? Because it tended to be the poorer you were, the more racially integrated you were. And the greatest irony is, of course, that you're getting lectured on being a racist and being a bigot and whatnot by people who have grown up with a silver ladle in their mouths, grown up going to private schools, living in Manhattan, traveling, as he puts it, he's really just taking the fight right to Charlie. Right? Who do you think he's talking about? I mean, this is Charlie Rose in a nutshell. All of these guys that are on the news that are saying Trump didn't denounce the nationalist, Trump is a racist. You think that these liberals on TV, you think they send their kids to public school? Are you kidding me? No way, no how. So Rose is so condescending throughout this interview. He's talking about citizenship, talking about DACA, and how can you possibly support something this inhuman? And he starts to lecture Bannon on DACA. Listen to this exchange.
America was, in the eyes of so many people, and it's what people respect America for. It is people have been able to come here, find a place, contribute to the economy. That's what immigration has been in America. And you seem to want to turn it around stop it.
You could be more dead wrong. America was built on her citizens.
Damn! That's exactly right. Oh, this is we've mentioned this before. This is the biggest lie that keeps getting repeated, is that if you want to end DACA, you hate immigrants. You hate immigration. You don't like immigration. You're a xenophobic, some sort of backward swamp monster. Charlie Rose says, it's what people respect America for. It is people have been able to come here, find a place, contribute to the economy. Yeah, Charlie, we don't dispute any of that. The greatest lie that you keep repeating is that you're treating legal immigrants the same way as illegal ones. And I'll tell you, the very people that you claim you purport to support and to care for, immigrants, all of them, virtually all legal immigrants, are not okay with illegal immigration. All right, more when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, what do you do if you've been in an accident? You're hurt, and you where do you go? How do you even begin that process? Well, first step is you don't do it alone. You don't try to call the insurance company and negotiate with them directly. That's the stuff of insanity. What you do instead is you call my friend, Attorney Sweet James Bergener, and have him handle your case for you. Look, James is a real guy. He'll talk to you. He'll give you the straight scoop. Okay, he'll be really honest with you. But most importantly, he will listen to you, and he'll make sure that he takes care of you and does for you what you need. Okay? A lot of lawyers, they just talk over you. You know, they're just really like listening to the sound of their own voice, kind of like me. But instead, you can go to Sweet James, who's a real, real great guy, and I can vouch for that. All right. How do you reach him? Easy. He's got a phone number, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. That's the number. He also has a cool website, which you need to check out even if you don't need a personal injury lawyer today. Check it out. He's got a great beard and a nice smile. And you'll look at it and you'll say, Sam is right. That's the kind of guy I want to call and have help me if I ever, God forbid, need some help. So I'll give the number one more time. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Sweet James. All right. Back behind the Sam Nation microphone, I am. And we're having some fun with this Steve Bannon interview on 60 Minutes. I love when people take the fight to the media. I think this is why I'm enjoying it so much. And I love watching it. Clips I played for you before. Look, do you see how combative he's being with Charlie Rose? There was a bit in here about Obamacare. One of the great lies that is told to us about Obamacare by the media is, look, Trump couldn't get it done. Trump couldn't get it done. And Bannon in this interview really dispels this notion. He says that in one of the very first meetings that we had with the Republican establishment, and he's talking about Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell in the Senate, the plan was laid out to get rid of Obamacare. And apparently Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell say, yeah, we can get this done. No problem. We've done this for 7 years. We have the votes. We voted 50 times. We understand this issue better than anybody. Yeah, so just let us handle it. Well, the rest is history. Trump let him handle it, and, you know, the whole thing freaking blew up. So then, with that exchange having happened, or that statement, Rose starts to badger Bannon, starts to kind of poke at him. And remember, you're probably wondering, now, why isn't he going on Sean Hannity? Right? Why doesn't he go on, with Alex Jones or some weird, you know, why does he go somewhere like that? And the answer, I think, is in here. Listen to this exchange, and I want you to just have an ear for the condescension that is coming from Charlie Rose, talking about fixing Obamacare and really talking about an unfair standard for Trump.
There's something that's being worked on right now to fix Obamacare, and that came up
to fix Obamacare.
It does not totally
fix Obamacare.
It does not, hang on. It does not.
Well, hang on.
It does not totally repeal Obamacare.
Have we
Obamacare.
Come to that where the choice is simply to fix Obamacare?
I think the choice is going to be you're not going to be able to totally repeal it.
Do you accept no responsibility for the failures of this administration?
When you say failures, it's 8 months in. Give me a failure. Bro, Obama didn't have Obamacare for the first 18 months. You're holding him to an unfair standard.
That's exactly right. So, you know, my opinion on this is that Bannon is at least he feels he's at his best when he's arguing with somebody that's anti. I know this. I sympathize with it because when you're talking to somebody who's, you know, hey, I totally agree with you. Hey, I totally agree with you. You don't really get to showcase your sharper edge. And for Bannon, he doesn't care if people think he is Satan reincarnated. But Bannon does want people to know that he's a sharp guy. And so he is happy to go toe-to-toe with a hostile media person. In fact, he probably in his mind, he goes, this is going to bring out the best in me. And besides, Charlie Rose, I mean, come on. What an empty suit he is. All right, Sam Rogowski. Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve, 790 KBC.
All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back here live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. So, in continuing going through this Steve Bannon interview on 60 Minutes, fascinating stuff. He offered a few criticisms of Trump. One of them, actually, when you take it, it's actually an acknowledgement of a certain amount of political naivete, which I think he's spot on here, actually. And it has to do with trusting people and looking at people as individuals rather than people as being parts of an institution, such as the government, such as the CIA. And this is an important thing because you've got a system right now in Washington where the entrenched bureaucracies have so many people feeding off of it, right? They're living off the fat of the land. They're not going to give anything up. Trump can try as he might to forge a relationship with this person or that person, but they're still going to look out for their own self-interest. So listen to the way Bannon describes it. It's a very powerful point, maybe one of the most important ones from the interview.
It's not without criticism.
Haven't made that criticism.
I think if there's one criticism or one observation is that the president in coming here, right, has still thought, at least in the beginning of his administration, that it's about personalities. And if I can change this personality or if I can get this guy in my side, I can do that. And it's not what the institutional logic is. I think with some of that was with the FBI and others and the State Department and how his foreign policy is playing out. But I believe you're going to see over time, he's going to have a greater appreciation that this is a city of institutions and you must engage them as institutions.
The best example of this, of course, is Reince Priebus, right? Reince was the head of the Republican Party. I mean, he was the chairman of the Republican Party. You're not going to appeal to Reince and suddenly turn him into a bosom ally. Priebus always, and even in his capacity inside the White House, acted in the interests of the Republican Party establishment. Nothing Trump did could change that. Very important criticism. Now, everybody here, I don't know, not everybody here, because we love Trump tweeting. It's fantastic. But, you know, you hear the media pontificate about this. And Bannon went straight for this, explaining what was going to happen with the Trump tweeting and whether or not it would continue, because everybody wants Trump to be more presidential. This is so great. This is the best way to end the program. Listen to this.
I don't think he needs the Washington Post and the New York Times and CBS News, and I don't believe he thinks that they're looking out for what's in his best interest, okay? He's not going to believe that. I don't believe that, and you don't believe that, okay? This is another standard and judgment that you rain upon him in the effort to destroy Donald Trump. He knows he's speaking directly to the people who put him in office when he uses Twitter. And it sometimes is not in the custom and tradition of what the opposition party deems as appropriate. You're absolutely correct. It's not. And he's not going to stop.
Bam. Because every criticism of Trump, oh, he's not enough of this and he needs to be more of that and da-da-da. Who's it coming from? It's coming from people who want to destroy the man. Would you take advice from your mortal enemy? I mean, no chance in hell. That's a good, how's that for a takeaway, right? Okay, we're back tomorrow night, 7, so be back here because there's going to be more good stuff. Have a great night. Talk to you then.